Welcome to the Well Woman Show, where we interview women executives, leaders, and entrepreneurs.
And you're listening to the Well Woman Show,
where motivated women achieve fulfillment and well-being.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show.
Well, I try to take time for myself by coming to things like Well Woman drinks.
To be accepting of myself no matter what, and to step away from judgment as much as possible.
You're listening to the Well Women Show.
You're going to be in for a good ride. I don't think I would have any advice per se because I don't regret anything. Everything I've ever done, I've learned from it one way or another, good or bad.
I think it comes down to being a little bit selfish for yourself, you know, put your own oxygen mask on first and then give what's left.
I'm a woman. I would prefer to tell my own story. My story, though it's very personal, is universal because everything that happens to me happens to just basically everybody, especially women.
You're listening to The Well Woman Show. And now your host, Giovanna Rossi.
Hi, Giovanna Rossi here, and welcome to The Well Woman Show, where I interview women leaders, executives, and entrepreneurs about their lives and their road to becoming and being who they are today. Do you ever feel like you need to be Wonder Woman to get everything done and be the awesome, powerful woman you know you can be? Well, you're definitely not alone. We all need to remember to use our superpowers, the ones we already have, but we don't always use. And towards the end of the show, in a segment called Superpowers for Success, I ask my guest about her superpowers, and the answers are unbelievable. I'm thrilled that you're here, so thanks for tuning in. Today's topic is how mind-body connection is an important prevention tool when it comes to your health. And hopefully by the end of the show, you'll be inspired to slow down, listen to your body, and stop sweating the small stuff in order to really live big and enjoy your life. My guest today is Teresa Gomez, an American Indian health policy advocate and political scientist. Teresa is an enrolled member of the Pueblo of Isleta, and was the first Pueblo woman to serve as Deputy Cabinet Secretary for the New Mexico Indian Affairs Department. Her work has included advocating for policies relating to Indian education, diversity, and equity, and to improve the well-being of American Indian communities. Teresa has served as the president and CEO of Futures for Children, a nonprofit organization whose mission it is to improve the lives of American Indian youth through mentorship and leadership development. Today I'm going to talk to Teresa about how her focus on her career almost killed her, about the moment she was diagnosed with cancer, about prevention, and paying attention to herself, all as contributing factors to connecting mind and body in order to stay healthy. And I have a cool worksheet for you that gives you the 4 steps to start living a well woman life. Listeners can get it for free at wellwomanlife.com/002show. But before we get started, I want to thank our sponsor today, Leafy Greens. They provide seasonal cleanses and nutrition consultations, and I love them. Leah is the owner, and she does a wonderful 21-day cleanse that literally changed my life a couple of years ago. You can visit wellwomanlife.com/leafygreens to sign up for the cleanse and get a 10% discount. And now for my interview with Teresa Gomez.
Welcome to the program, Teresa. It's so good to have you here.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Teresa, give me a short summary of who you are and what your commitment is to women's well-being. So like who you are professionally and what your commitment is to women's well-being.
I have been involved in health issues for a couple of decades now, and it's mostly because of where I come from. I am a tribal member of the Pueblo of Isleta, and growing up in on the reservation, I came to realize that there's a lot of health inequities about us, not only at the reservation level, but being a lifelong resident of New Mexico, that there are quite a few health inequities in our state. And I made it a goal of mine to focus my professional life around addressing those health inequities, and particularly for vulnerable individuals and women.
Okay, and I know I've known you for several years, quite a few years. You were the director of which department when you were on the Women's Health Council?
When I was on the Women's Health Council, I was the Deputy Cabinet Secretary for the Indian Affairs Department, and later on was the Deputy Cabinet Secretary for Workforce Solutions.
And that's under the Richardson administration in New Mexico, for listeners who may not be familiar with the New Mexico state government. Okay, Teresa, describe a time in your life when you didn't put yourself first, like when you weren't taking care of yourself the way you maybe now know you need to.
That would be quite a few years preceding 2013. I was very much focused on my career, advancing my career, and helping other people, and looking at policy. And in May 2013, I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. And it was at that point in time that everything came to a screeching halt, and my whole world changed, and my perspective on taking care of myself completely shifted.
Oh, wow. So walk us through that a little bit, because I wanted to get into your story of, you know, you're a high-powered leader, executive in government, and a governor appointee, and you get this news. How did that, first of all, how did you get the news? Tell us that story.
It was a typical day in my life, doing some work to get ready. My daughter was getting ready to go on a fairly long trip, and so we were going to have a small celebration at our house, and it was also Mother's Day. And I hadn't been feeling well, but I didn't really think much of it. And so I went on Mother's Day to urgent care. I didn't even tell my family I was going, just to get some relief. I was having quite a bit of abdominal bloating and pain, things like that. But again, didn't really think much of it. So I went to urgent care, and the doctor took some x-rays. And when the x-rays came back, she came back into the exam room, and she asked me if I was by myself. And I was surprised when she asked that question, and I said yes, that I was by myself. And she says, "You're very sick, and we're going to have to transport you to the emergency room." So I immediately called my husband and let him know to meet me at the emergency room.
But at this point, you didn't know what you were sick with.
No, I had no idea. She just, like I said, she just said to me, "You're very sick, and we need to get you to the emergency room." So I got to the emergency room, and they immediately started giving me some the injection, because they were going to do a CT scan. And, did the, blood work and that type of thing. And so it was going to be a couple of hours before I was able to do the CT scan. So I sent my husband home, and he continued the preparation. We were still planning on having a party that day. And he came back a few hours later, and the emergency room doctor came in, and he put his hand on my knee, and immediately I knew something major was going on. And he said, "You have multiple malignancies throughout your abdomen, and we're going to admit you to the oncology unit." And it was interesting, because I told my husband, "You need to call everybody, or call to the house, and, let everyone know what's going on." And he said, "Well, what should I tell them?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to be admitted to the oncology unit. I have cancer." And so the evening went on, and
let me just ask you, because was that the first time you said the words, like, to tell your husband that. So the doctor didn't actually say you have cancer. You just knew it when he told you where you were going to be going.
I knew it based on the fact that I was being admitted to the oncology unit and that he had mentioned that there were multiple malignancies throughout my abdomen.
And what were you feeling at that moment when you had to tell your husband that and say the words?
Honestly, I can't remember. It was almost like I had stepped outside of myself and that I was talking about somebody else. It didn't really hit me right away that this was happening to me, because like I said, I have always been focused on everybody else and not necessarily focused on what was happening with me and inside of me. And so it was interesting that the words just came out. But like I said, I think it was mostly because it didn't feel like it was me.
So what happened next?
So I went up to the oncology unit, and that was the first time that I met my oncologist, surgical oncologist, Dr. Padilla. And he's one of the top oncologists, GYN, gynecological oncologists in the state. And he explained to me that, sure enough, you know, it was ovarian cancer. They were going to run some additional tests to make sure that, in fact, that it was that it originated in the ovaries, and they wanted to do surgery the following day, but I had been taking over-the-counter pain medication just, you know, for the other symptoms that I was having. And so they're blood thinners, and so they couldn't do surgery right away. So they scheduled surgery for a few days later just so that I could get all of that medication out of my system.
So, Teresa, did the party happen? I mean, did your husband cancel? Did everybody, like, show up to the party and not have the party? What happened?
Well, fortunately, everyone was already at the house, so we didn't have to do a whole bunch of calling the immediate family. Everybody was there. And so he went home and he picked up my daughter, and the two of them came back. But at that time is when he let the rest of the family know where I was at and what was going on. And like I said, I was discharged, I think, the next day, but it was basically to go home to get all of the pain medication out of my system. And I want to say it was 3 or 4 days later that then I had, they call it a radical hysterectomy and debulking, and basically taking out all of the malignancies that were around my abdomen. And I understand there were quite a few.
And so at this point, did you know you were going to be okay? Or were you thinking, God, this could be it?
Oh, I was definitely thinking, God, this could be it. And there were, I think in the first day that I was in the hospital, they did a lot of drainage. I had a lot of fluid in my body, and I believe it was right after the surgery, I had some complications, and so it was definitely touch and go. As a matter of fact, I had mentioned earlier that my daughter was getting ready to go on a 5-week trip to Nicaragua, and when we talked to the Dr. Padilla and said, you know, should we let her go or should she stay? And he said, if this was my mother, if it were my mother, I wouldn't let her go.
Hmm.
And so, you know, there were bits and pieces where
you were like, oh, this is serious.
This is very serious. So I did the surgery, and then with that was in May, and by the middle part of June, I had started chemotherapy. I started a pretty intense chemotherapy regimen. And about halfway through the chemotherapy treatment, there were some additional tests that were run, and then is when we discovered that I had a BRCA mutation, which is breast cancer. And what that meant was that the odds of my getting breast cancer were significantly high. And so we went ahead and finished with the chemotherapy, and then I also did an additional, what's called maintenance consolidation therapy. And as soon as that was done, last year in December was when I had a prophylactic double mastectomy, so that I could reduce my chances of getting breast cancer later in life. So
you currently don't have breast cancer, and you don't have any cancer right now?
I currently am cancer-free. I'm technically not in remission yet. There's some sort of complex timelines that have to be met before I'm considered in remission. But I just had a visit with my oncologist last week, and all is clear so far. And so I was seeing him every 3 months, and now we've bumped it up to 6 months. So I'll see him in another 6 months.
Wow. So Teresa, for listeners, I mean, this show is all about interviewing women leaders, executives, and entrepreneurs about how they do the things they do, and also the bumps in the road that they come across, right? So this is a major bump in the road, clearly. What did you learn from that experience, and what would you tell other women?
What I would tell other women is pay attention to any and all symptoms that are not normal. Anything that you think, if you think there's something that's not right, get it checked out and ask for a second opinion or a third opinion or whatever you need to make sure that you know what's happening with you.
So I think this is a really important point, because as women, very busy professional women, and also balancing or juggling family at home, and I think a lot of times we feel or we see signs of something, but we actually don't acknowledge it, mm-hmm. because we're too busy. We're like, oh no, that's not happening. Did that happen to you, do you think?
Absolutely. That absolutely happened to me. I completely ignored the very obvious, now knowing what I know now, if I would have been even paying attention a little bit, I would have gotten myself checked out right away. And I let it go so far that I'm not sure if I would have waited any longer what the outcome would have been. But I know that when I think about pre-2013, the signs were definitely there.
Like what? Like what kind of, now in retrospect, signs were obvious, but maybe not so obvious to you at the time?
Always tired, bloating, an urgency to urinate. I always thought, well, you know, this is going to pass, get some over-the-counter medication, and it'll pass. But, and I know that had we not had that large event scheduled for that day, I probably would have continued to ignore it. But it forced me to say, okay, I need relief for the day. Go in, get some more medication, and then go home and go on about your business. And that's just the way I operated. And I didn't stop for a moment and just say, okay, something's really wrong here. You need to follow up.
Yeah, I feel like that happens when we are not in tune with mind and body. You know, our mind can be somewhere and our body is doing something totally different. And when we don't have the capacity or the tools or just taking the time to focus on bringing mind and body together, we don't notice those things. And that can be really dangerous, as it was for you.
It is very dangerous. And in my case, and not just my case, but with ovarian cancer, women who have had ovarian cancer, they call it the silent killer, because a lot of the signs are signs that are, like I said, can just be taken care of with over-the-counter medication. Bloating, urgency to urinate, tired. I mean, those are signs that we kind of just deal with. But knowing, like I said, knowing what I know now, I would have done things completely different, because bloating is the number one red flag, number one sign of ovarian cancer. And there aren't any screening tools yet for screening ovarian cancer like there is cervical cancer or other cancers, colon cancer. There aren't reliable screening mechanisms for ovarian cancer.
So how did you deal with this with your daughter? This must have been really hard, right? We never want to have to talk about those things with our kids. It just seems so hard.
Oh, it was very difficult to talk to her, not only to talk to her about what was happening with me, but to think about the risk that she's at. The BRCA mutation, the BRCA gene, there's a 50% chance that your next of kin will also have a BRCA mutation. And so we consulted a genetics specialist and started to outline or to create a family tree to kind of figure out within my family where the BRCA mutation may have come from. But the implications for her is probably scarier as a mother, scarier for me to think about, okay, how do we prevent this from happening in her life, when the fact of the matter is she's at very high risk with my having ovarian cancer and a BRCA mutation.
Okay, so let's talk about prevention a little bit, because I know you've been involved now in some of the organizations that provide resources to women who might have gynecological cancers. And I know you're not a doctor, and so we're not going to put you on the spot in that way, but just what kinds of things can women do in terms of prevention?
Screening, and more screening. Taking advantage of, I know there's a number of programs in the state that provide financial support for women for breast cancer screening, for mammographies. There's also a lot of information about getting the HPV vaccination for both young women and boys, and just being open with your gynecologist, your primary care doctor, and getting the screening that is necessary to ensure that you're clear, and or that if there's a if you're at high risk, that you're making sure that, you know, God forbid you get a cancer diagnosis, that you catch it very early. It's much easier to treat at an early stage than it is at a later stage. Mm-hmm. So prevention, I think, just being aware and getting screenings. I know that there's some new information about guidelines for mammographies, and some, I think, a little bit of controversy around, you know, when's the right time and how often and at what age. But I think just keeping informed on screening and prevention.
So Teresa, how has this experience that's going on 3 years now, how has it impacted the rest of your life? Have you changed the way you do things in your life, health-wise or professionally, or, you know, anything?
I've changed professionally in that I'm even more devoted and focused around health and health policy, health inequities, and making sure that I'm involved in the policy discussions as it relates to from a patient-centered or patient's lens. Mm-hmm. I think oftentimes, and I'm guilty of this as well, is oftentimes we're involved in policy and making developing policy, but it doesn't actually equate to having positive impact on the patient or on the client. And so I've changed professionally in that I'm looking at policy and looking at affecting change through a patient lens. Mm-hmm. And trying to understand, okay, is this policy actually going to make sense for the client, the consumer, the patient?
And has it made you reprioritize things in your life? Like, do you feel like a different person?
I feel like a completely different person. And it's definitely a life-changing event that you do. You reprioritize everything. And
so what is your priority now?
Well, I mean, I know this is a cliche, and the name of a book is Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. There would be times when I would be concerned about, is the house in perfect order? Is the, you know, is everything in perfect order and that type of thing? And now it's more like, well, you know what? There's more important things right now to be concerned about: enjoying the day, enjoying the time with family, enjoying time with friends, and doing things that I feel you feel like, I mean, we never know how many days we have left, but when you have a cancer diagnosis, then you're almost rushed into, or not, I shouldn't say rushed, rush is the wrong word, you take a lot more risks about financial risks about or take financial risks. Should I take that trip to Spain that I've been wanting to take? And you're like, oh yes, I should.
buy that ticket.
So it's just slowing down on one respect and really spending time on doing the things that you really want to do, and that's even with work. Is I'm not going to work to have a job. I'm going to do the things that I really want to do through work. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And have you, back on the idea of mind-body connection, mm-hmm. and being aware of things that are going on with us, have you found that you are more in touch with yourself in that way? Can you detect things that aren't feeling quite right quicker?
Most definitely. And sometimes it can get to the other extreme where every little thing, you know, you worry about, or I worry about, is, oh, I have an ache here, or I have a pain there, and what does that mean? And, you know, so it can get to the other extreme. So finding that balance between, okay, you know, calm down and let me think about this, and, you know, has it changed significantly? And so it's just finding that balance between, like, what's the new normal, and also not, Dr. Padilla always says, don't chase ghosts. And so don't look for something that's not actually there.
Yeah.
And if something's really bothering you, yeah, obviously get it checked out. But don't, like I said, sometimes I'll get an ache or a pain, and then my mind starts wandering. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he always says, don't chase ghosts. Mm-hmm. Because it's, you know, you're probably okay.
Well, it's great that you're looking great, feeling good almost 3 years after this. It's been a long road for you. And I know you're back into work and you're advocating for gynecological cancer awareness and everything. So I want to ask you a few questions in our segment called Superpowers for Success. Because, you know, like I said, on this show, we do interview women leaders, executives, and entrepreneurs about how they are the successful women they are and how they've handled the challenges in the road. So let me begin by asking you just a sort of a general question. What does success in life mean to you?
Success in life to me means happiness and being content. And it's not so much happiness like I've got material things, but genuinely being happy and being content and being able to enjoy life, and just, I think that's success. Mm-hmm. is having the time and having the know-how to put things on hold and to sit down and say, okay, it's going to be all right if I take a few minutes for myself with my family. It's going to be okay, and just being content and with that.
That's great. That's a great takeaway, because we talk about that a lot on this show, is taking the time for yourself and prioritizing that, and how important that is to overall success and happiness. So Teresa, when did you know you were really good at what you do? Being a health policy professional, really making an impact at the state and national level, when did you know that you were good at that?
I probably knew that well before 2013. But it wasn't until I was sitting next to other women in my same situation, and they were asking me for advice about things like health insurance coverage and different kinds of questions around what I call policy, that I just assumed, just because I was in the middle of it, I just assumed, well, yeah, you know, other people know about this. But when they would ask me even things about state government and how state government works, and again, insurance and advocacy, when other women were asking me how to do things, then I kind of, the light bulb went on, is, oh, you know how to do this, and you can actually be a conveyor of knowledge.
And describe one personal habit that contributes to your well-being now.
I don't know.
Do you have a daily ritual of things that you do to make sure you are feeling good? Or
yeah, and that usually happens first thing in the morning is collect myself, get ready for the day, make sure that that I am feeling okay to be out and about, and if I'm not, don't. And just to be okay with saying I'm not ready to do this. And that's probably another thing that I do a lot differently now, is I say no more often than I used to.
Oh, that's a good one. That might lead us right into the next question, which is what superpower did you discover you have only to realize you've had it all the time?
Like I said, knowing when to say no, and also prioritizing. I always felt like my life was very busy, and it was, and it still is. It's very busy, but just prioritizing but still making sure that I do have enough time for myself and for my family. And so prioritizing, I guess.
That's a good one. Okay, we're almost at the end of the show. I wanted to ask you, what book are you reading that you would recommend to other people? Like, what's on your nightstand that you're getting into right now?
I just got a book. I haven't started reading it yet. I just got a book, and it's called Does This Outfit Make Me Look Bald? And it's written by a woman who had breast cancer. And she wrote a book about, she was in the fashion industry when she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I saw it on the internet, and so I bought it. I haven't started reading it yet, but I'm very interested because you know, going through chemotherapy, knowing that you end up with no hair everywhere, and just people's perceptions and feelings about having hair. I kind of wanted to get a better sense from other cancer survivors is how our self-image was affected.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, last question, Teresa. What advice would you give to your younger self, say your 25-year-old self?
I would say take care of yourself in a very special way. Listen to yourself. Pay attention to yourself. Again, don't sweat the small stuff. Life is, you don't know what life is going to bring, and enjoy every moment, and don't do things that you really don't want to do, or that you intuitively know, I'm really not going to enjoy this. Do the things, just love life and do the things that make you feel good, and pay attention to yourself.
It's a great lesson, great takeaway from the show. I want to thank you so much, Teresa Gomez, for being on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me.
That's it for our show today. I've been speaking with Teresa Gomez, an American Indian health policy advocate and political scientist. We talked about listening to yourself, saying no, and taking time for yourself, all as contributing factors to connecting mind and body in order to stay healthy. You can get the 4 steps to living a well woman life for free at wellwomanlife.com/002show. Our monthly live event, Well Woman Drinks, brings women together to share our successes and challenges as women, leaders, moms, aunts, sisters, and every other role you can think of. If you'd like to attend a Well Woman Drinks near you, or if there isn't one in your city yet and you'd like to apply to start one, email me at info@wellwomanlife.com.
If you enjoyed the show today, please take a moment and subscribe to the show in iTunes and leave a review. This really helps with visibility and it helps other women find the show. You can also continue the conversation in the Well Woman Life community group at facebook.com/groups/Well Woman Life Community. For feedback, comments, or just to let me know you were listening today, find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Well Woman Life. I'm Giovanna Rossi for The Well Woman Show. Until next time, have a super powerful week.